Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
My name is Christian Basil. Years ago, I had an idea. I got myself a TARDIS, took it to new places, met a lot of new people, took some great pictures, and talked Doctor Who. From Krypton Radio and the creators of the Hanging With web show, this is the legend of the Traveling TARDIS. Join me on my latest adventures and become part of the legend.
And hello, fellow Whovians. This is Christian Basil. Welcome to the legend of the Traveling TARDIS. If this is your first time joining us, we want to welcome a bunch of people who have subscribed to our YouTube channel as well as liked us on our Facebook page from our friends at Tampa Bay Comic Con, which we, Melanie, Nisha, and I were there this weekend there. Nisha looks busy. We want to welcome you to the Legend of the Traveling TARDIS, and thank you for joining us over here. We're going to be discussing the big elephant in the room that everybody's been talking about all this week and for days to come. That's right. To bring up the article, and I'll read this for you, just in case you've been under a rock, and where have you been?
Unhide yourself.
What's that?
I said unhide yourself, people. We're pulling you out from under the rock. It's not a spoiler.
It's no longer a rumor. It is completely true. There is. It's been made official by the BBC itself. Let me bring up the article. Well, yeah, from our friends over at sci-fi.radio, where you can actually also listen to us every weekend on their station live. They also have an app you can download for free. Check it out there. But it is official. Jodie Whittaker and Chris Chibnall will be leaving Doctor Who autumn 2020. I'll just read a portion 22. Of the article.
Autumn
2022. Yeah. Let's get the. I told you I'm so tired from this weekend. It's been a long way. Jodie Whittaker, the first woman to play the Doctor, along with showrunner Chris Chibnall, are leaving the show in autumn of 2022. Whittaker will star in a 6-part series later this year and 3 specials next year. Before she exits, the series will be a first since the show's return to television in 2005. In the 6 episodes, we'll tell one story. And if I'm not mistaken, that's going to be one long story. The last time we've done that is with Trial of the Time Lord with Colin Baker, The War Games with Patrick Troughton, and the Fourth Doctor, Tom Baker, who did The Key to Time. In a statement, Whittaker paid tribute to Chibnall and the Doctor Who team, adding, "I will carry the Doctor and the lessons I've learned forever. In 2017, I opened my glorious gift box of size 13 shoes." Whittaker said, "I could not have guessed the brilliant adventure worlds and wonders I was to see in them. My heart is so full of love for this show, for the team who make it, for the fans who watch it, and for what it has brought to my life." So, yeah, don't know what to say at this moment out there.
Well, Jerry Knowles on Facebook says, "I was under a rock. Good to know."
Okay.
I mean, honestly, there was a lot of stuff kind of coming out. And even then, yeah. When I first heard this, I thought it was another rumor because it's just been one rumor after the other. Of, oh, this has happened. This has happened. And I'm like, okay, uh-huh, fine. Until like on our Facebook group, I believe it was Kevo that you actually posted it. Yeah. And it was the wait. What? And it was from the BBC. And I'm like, okay. The official Doctor Who page. So then it went from, oh, it's not a rumor. It's actually fact.
I gotcha. Let me go ahead and introduce the team. For those of you just joining us for the first time, you may not be familiar with our team there. I'll start off with the lovely Nisha Mulchin of Diversely Geek. How are you doing there, Nisha?
Hey,
one of our participants and booth watcher. Everybody drive people nuts, and somebody addressed me when I was working booths and helping out people, the booth babe. So you were one of our booth babes. Nisha, how you doing? How was Tampa Bay Comic Con for you?
It was good. I thought strange. I mean, I didn't have a booth. I had my panels. Was with you guys. Was with you on your panels. And I was actually really tired when I left, and I didn't do anything near what I normally would have. Isn't that crazy?
We had the area, and I always loved that area that they gave us, which was right next to the window outside. It is gorgeous. That's where kind of the press area was. Unfortunately, hanging with Web Show wasn't there this year, but we got to have that whole area to ourselves. And I got to have a little peaceful time to me. We had three panels for weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and they're pretty good. And I felt bad for everybody because this is for you, Croy, just for you. Croy had scheduled an 8:30 panel on Saturday night, and everybody else was like butt tired. And I felt bad, and everybody was looking at me like, "Are you going to be angry if we don't go?" And said, "No, I'll do this one." And I had a wonderful time. I think it started off with like 10 people, and then it ended up being like 40 people. But some of them, I'm hoping they're watching today. Want to welcome Faith Kelly. Oh, Christopher, how you doing? That's actually one of my alumni from my alma mater, Colonial High School. Hi, Luke. How are you doing there, Kyle? Oh, and Faith Kelly was probably a little overwhelming. I feel ill. Oh.
I feel a little tired after MegaCon.
Yeah. After MegaCon. We're going to be completely wiped out by MegaCon. And Christopher Chatfield, the Traveling Tardis. Ah, yes, a great group with great taste. Thank you there. Thank you, sir. Yes, I must watch. And I want to welcome everybody from also on our YouTube channel. And hello, Dory, Doris Jones Labors of Love. Hello, all. And then there's also Keisha just stepped in there. We want to welcome everybody. Don't forget, you can chat with us. And if you have any questions or want to, you know, talk about what's going on today, don't forget, you can chat with us, whether you're on the YouTube channel, the Twitch channel, Facebook page, and please don't forget to subscribe.
And I have two queued up for when the conversation really starts going. So
there you go. Hello, Keisha. Let's continue our introductions. Melanie, who was also at Tampa Bay Comic Con.
Yes.
I really hope the doctors do not see what's on your wall today.
Oh, I had a lot of stuff going on this weekend, and maybe some stuff got sold. You never know.
You know how they get jelly out there.
Well, darn. I don't just paint doctors. So
they go after a verbal bee-slapping.
My shameless self-promotion of my Chuck painting and my Deadpool painting. So, So anyway, busy weekend. It was a great convention. Right now we've got convention on top of a convention, on top of a convention. I think for, at least for me, not this weekend, but the weekend after, we're going to be going to MegaCon. So this weekend was also Rally. So, oh no.
They're what here.
Have I done? Oh, darn, guys.
The boyos are here.
They noticed.
So, I think they noticed. Darn it. Sorry, guys. You know I love you. So anyway, long weekend. Yeah, speaking about Saturday, I mean, I got there at 8 a.m. because the show got opened up at 9 for both Saturday and Sunday. And the panel was like 8:30 p.m. and the expo hall closed at 7. And I was just like, I'm dead. I'm tired. I got to go home. I got to print stuff. I got a commission. I got to finish.
All of you, I'm assuming, have been to conventions, but I mean, it was like a 12-hour grind. Because we had to get there early, and then we put everything set up, and then we had our thing. And then I had to go and wait for the panel. And I was by myself, which is kind of, kind of refreshing. Nothing, but I love having an entourage there. Like I said, I love to have an entourage, but it was me, 8:30, butt tired. And I think I may have said things that were, a little bit off. Boobies was mentioned. Hey, but not by me, not by me. That was one of the audience members. So I'm like, we'll go with it. Oh no, the doctors did see it, Christian. Oh,
sorry. You're like, maybe they see it.
Label it PG-13. Just make sure you handwrite
PG. Exactly. Speaking of PG-13. Hi, Mackenzie. Mackenzie of the right of ones.
I don't know why I'm being so cute with PG-13. It more thinks about like the conversation I just had, a screenwriting conversation regarding a project that I'm doing. And they said, oh, this isn't really YA, is it? I said, no, it's not. It never was supposed to be. What could that mean?
Again, for our friends who are just joining us, we are going to be discussing about the departure announcement of Jodie Whittaker and Chris Chibnall. But I want to introduce you to our friends out here who we're going to be talking, who will be talking about in the panel: Mackenzie Floor, the Writer Ones, and the Binge Watchers.
Binge Watchers guy. Oh,
we have to meet things again.
And author of The Binge Watcher's Guide to Doctor Who.
I almost
said
something else.
So you understand what our live panels are like. So you understand what our live panels are like. This is it.
Yes.
And I'm like,
we're taking it easy because we're still all recovering. And speaking of recovering, because I have no segue, how are you doing there, Kevo? Love you, Kevo. Kevo from Husbands Talking More or Less podcast. Also, the man who does these wonderful thumbnails.
Yes.
Do you do it for other people? I mean, could somebody hire you to do these thumbnails if they want?
Please hire me. Reach out. Okay, I would love to do it for other people. I don't do a ton. I do it for our own shows, X's for Podcast, which is my husband's X-Men podcast, and Husband's Talking More or Less. I do the images for that, and I do all of the art for our webcomic series, Kid Riot. Well, no, not all the art. That was terrible. The promo art, but I can't draw worth a damn. But when it comes to like making stuff out of other stuff, yeah, it's just it's fun. That idea just came to me immediately when you said to me, it's going to be who's leaving. I was like, yup.
Oh, you told me this was going to be the hardest thumbnail. He's just like, I don't know how to really.
Well, it's just sad.
Right. It's like, you're going to have to draw through tears.
Well, I'm sorry for the folks who are in the audio, but I was just like, when I looked at this, I was like, oh my God. They have moved on in a sad sense. I was looking at it, I was like, oh my God, this is kind of funeralistic a little bit, but I love it. I love it.
No, it shows their span. It's their run.
I know. But it was like that little black and white, and it was like, oh, they're fading into the.
How else do we deal with this grief? We need to move on and like, be ready for what's next. I want to know.
Yes.
I have no idea what's going to happen next. Speaking of which, there. Dan Hollyfield says, one day Christian may actually learn the English language. Shut it, Dan. Carl Rhodeson, I really wish we'd seen Jodie with another showrunner and writers. Yeah. Yep. Oh my God. That's probably going to be part of the latter half of this discussion.
I think that's the consensus right there.
When I posted, I don't mention this. When I first posted from sci-fi.radio, the article about that, there is like this long running chain of a response, and it's almost across the board. I mean, there's some variations. Some people didn't like her. Some people loved her. Some people, but there seems to be a running consensus throughout the Hooniverse about how they feel about this. So, Mike Gunn, Jodie got screwed on her run as the Doctor. Bad scripts with little consistency. The show needs someone heading it that can give her a better run. Well, Mike, that was probably the show's over. There we go. That was the consensus.
Honestly, that's it. I mean, I know for myself, I want more. I've wanted more Jodie, less Chibnall, because I mean, go back to all of our reviews. Mm-hmm. The ones that he did not write were the ones I ranked higher, and I enjoyed more.
I would not only go over for the showrunner, but I would also go for the writing. It just, there was so much potential in the writing in some of the scripts, and it would just fall flat.
Yeah.
And it didn't do her any justice. Mm-hmm. Whereas, and I think for the, are we going into the discussion now?
Yes.
Okay.
No, we're just going to keep vamping for another 40 minutes.
Well,
yes.
I want the people here listening to do that. I know I'm not that tired. I think it's Chris did not give her the direction she needed.
I mean, he gave it the shot, which I'm emphatically grateful for. He's the one that said, "No, we're going to go with a female doctor. We're going to go with Jodie Whittaker. Mm-hmm. This is how we're going to run. We're going to do this. This is how we're going to Doctor Who. You know, in 2018 is when she started.
Yeah,
isn't it sad that we know it's three and out, but in reality, it's 2018 to 2022.
Yeah,
so and it's not necessarily just because of COVID. So anyway, that's. I can start going on that little rant in a moment, but
yeah,
but I'm grateful going back to that point. I'm grateful that Chibnall was the one who said, okay, this is the doctor we're going with. He gave her the shot of Jodie Whittaker. Now it was a awesome step aside, sir. I'll do something with somebody else.
I'll do this. Let me go ahead and run a commercial break because I do want to make a statement. I want you guys to pick it apart. Also, I want to know, you know, when you first heard the announcement, what were you thinking? Where were you at that time? So let's go ahead and go to a commercial break. When we come back, we'll focus on this more. When we continue, please continue to stay logged on, tuned in, and become part of the legend.
Baitman.
What's the Baitman?
A novel set in Florida, written by Florida author D.L. Havlin. Suspense, mystery, and murder.
Evidence is in the bait.
The Baitman is available at local bookstores and online.
Jackie Sonnenberg's My Soul to Keep is a ghost story rooted in the realities of actual cults. When 13-year-old Skye Monroe arrives at her new boarding school, all she can think about is death and connecting with the afterlife. Soon, she discovers her school's spirituality group, the Guardians of Light, and they have a secret. They can speak with the dead, and the organization is a cult. But this isn't Skye's only problem. The campus house where Skye resides is haunted, and even the ghosts have an agenda. They intend on getting the souls they want. Filled with mystery and intrigue plucked straight from the headlines, author Jackie Sonnenberg's research and attention to detail give this ghost story an even more eerie atmosphere. Find My Soul to Keep on Amazon.com today.
Oh, brilliant! It's hard to believe that in the 56-year history of the greatest sci-fi television show in the English language, there has never been a fan guide to Doctor Who. The official books might give you what they think you need to know, but only a guide written by a true fan will give you what you really want to know. Join Whovian, the brilliant Mackenzie Flohr, as she takes you on an intensive journey inside the world of the first female Doctor. In the Binge Watcher's Guide to Doctor Who, Season 11. Right, let's get a shift on.
And if you're watching us on the YouTube channel, the Facebook page, or the Twitch channel, thank our friends over at GeekInsider.com. We are powered by GeekInsider.com. Don't forget to subscribe.
At Geek Insider, we foster relationships with those in the geek sphere so we can give our audience the insider view of entertainment, tech, and more.
And if you're just joining us, welcome to The Legend of the Traveling TARDIS. My name is Christian Basil. I've got Melanie Dean from Pieces of Melee on the Instagram. I got our good friend Kevo Reese at Kevo Really on the Instagram. If you want to, you like those thumbnails, you can hire him. We also have Nisha Mulchin, APRN and CEO of Diversely Geek, and all the way at the other end, the lovely author of the Red Wands and her sonic screwdriver, Mackenzie Flohr. We are talking about, as you can see, scrolling down at the very bottom, we are doing a live chat about the announcement of Jodie and Chris leaving Doctor Who in 2022. Let me start with you, Kevo. When you heard about the announcement, what's that?
Well, my first thought was this team, genuinely. As soon as I saw it, I immediately went to our chat and was like, has anybody else seen it yet? Because when I saw it, it came up in my Facebook feed, and it had only been like 14 minutes. And I immediately looked at the page and was like, no, this is Doctor Who. This is real. This is really happening. And, you know, I think I was in shock at first, like a lot of us. I'm kind of I'm a little disappointed by how few episodes we will have of 13 by the end of this, like barely more than 30 episodes. I wanted more, but, you know, this whole situation has been hard. It was probably already hard being the first female doctor, but now everything that's happened the last 2 years, I get people doing whatever they need to do with their careers. Mm-hmm. I am the most anxious and feel the most emphatic about who will be replacing Chris. You know, whoever's going to be the doctor will be the doctor, and they get chosen for a reason, and no one has really disappointed me so far. I really am dead curious to know who is going to take over this show, because I know it was such a struggle to find someone to replace Stephen Moffat in the first place. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Are there more people who are interested in the show now? Are people less interested in the show with everything that's happened? I think I that needs to be a huge... Yeah, same. I'll take it. I will take it.
I always hear that story out there. It says nobody wants to show run the show. Well, Brian says the same thing. I said, fly me out there. I'll go show run this damn show.
J. Michael Straczynski has said on his Twitter that he is very much interested in being a showrunner, and he can do it, but he's American. So would they need to get
over
that?
They need to get over that. And that's something we talk about in other episodes too. Yep.
Yeah, I was actually watching a friend's podcast, Kevo. They were actually a little bit more hardcore on the other side, saying that there seems to be a British connection. It's that Doctor Who's British, and its core should be British. It should not go to an American thing. And they were bringing up the TV movie as an example of like why it should not be too much Americanized. I'm looking for, can you show run? Can you do this better
Exactly. Honestly, when they keep going, pointing out the movie, it's like, oh, that's because the Americans screwed it up. Like, no, too many cooks were in the damn kitchen. Right. That was the biggest problem. You had the BBC, and then you had Fox, and you had a litany of producers and notes coming from all over the place. I mean, they weren't even on the same page of who they were going to cast. They had already told another actor, oh, we cast you, until he found out, oh, I guess not. And it was Paul.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that to me wasn't just, it was just too many people putting with too many people's input. If you put somebody just in that role, I mean, what's the worst that can happen now, people?
Right. Again, it's like when they hire the doctor, can they act? Do they know anything about Doctor Who? Do they have the acting chops to reflect not only what came before, but to go forward in a new interpretation? I'm at that point. And can you write Doctor Who? Do you know anything about the previous? Do you know what good stuff that you have in the past 50 some odd years that you can bring back and try to flesh out, plus bring us new stuff so that it can run another 50 plus years while I'm dead and gone? And the children who grow up now will endure Doctor Who and enjoy it like I did, like we did when we were kids. Mm-hmm. It's that what I'm looking for. I don't think that's too much to ask, but it seems to be too hard to execute. But Melanie, we all heard it from... No, go ahead, Kevin. I saw your mouth open.
No, I was just going to say, I think it's really important to keep British culture important in Doctor Who lore. It would be like taking a character whose favorite city is New York and changing that. The Doctor, for who they are, loves the UK, loves London, loves all of that, and that's really important to the character. But beyond that, there is no need for this Anglican purity when it comes to production. It's the same way they wouldn't hire non-British actors in the Harry Potter movies. That's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. How many non-Americans are playing Marvel superheroes? Like, we need to embrace each other.
Superman is British.
So weird.
And everybody loves Henry Cavill. Yeah. Superman's British, and everybody loves Henry Cavill. And it's always that seems to be there's that stigma.
Yeah.
I remember the days that people were like, oh, Michael Keaton is Batman. Now they can't see him as not being Batman. They now want him the Batman Beyond thing. Now he's doing something for The Flash, if I'm mistaken. They're doing a movie or something like that. I'm going to open this question up for the panelists. Graham Krause asked a good question. Capaldi has so many great speeches. Did Jodie have one that stand out for you? And this is something that I attribute to the writing in the past 2 years. Do you have a speech that you can remember
it wasn't a speech. It was more or less her just saying travel hopefully when she was making her last kind of exit into the, when she was exiting out of the TARDIS on one particular, on one episode. And mm-hmm. that to me, I thought was great, but it wasn't really a speech.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Not at all. But
when you compare Jodie's time, like when Eleven is standing up on the Pandorica and talking to his enemies, when the Christmas invasion, when Ten is talking to the Sycorax, this planet is defended. That's, I mean, everybody has all these great speeches, and there's always that, what I call the space god moment, when the Doctor is in full force and all gears are running, when Eleven is finally regenerated and he's standing right in front of the Atraxes. Not only does he tell them to go away and then tells them to come back, he says, going away is good, not coming back is better, and he just brings them in and verbally backhands them, and then they mm-hmm. leave. I mean,
we get a lot of wonderful discussion, small. So there's no mm-hmm. long.
Like one-liners.
Yeah, but there's some great, especially the one about change. Remember, we are all capable of the most incredible change. We can still evolve while... Because I had to pull it up. I had it here. We can still evolve while still staying true to who we are. We can honor who we've been and choose who we want to be next. Those are one of the earlier episodes. Remember, titles are not in my head right now. But the one where they're in the, oh my goodness gracious. The young lady who's blind and the father. And I can't think of it right this minute, but in that episode when she's talking with the almighty being, and that's like a bartering conversation. It's about, mm-hmm. hey, this is who I am. This is who I can be to you and who I've been to you, but also understand these people have to have the right to be able to live their life and have their journey and evolve.
Right.
But I'll be your friend and I'm here. Mm-hmm. So even though you don't see me, I'm still going to be here for you. I always remember that. Now I don't remember the name of the show this moment. That's a problem. But
that's a testament to the writing that's going on. There's nothing here for me. I think the one time I mentioned when we were doing a review was Revolution. I just remember her flicking a switch and then the image of the Dalek, I'm going to call her the She Dalek. I forgot the character, but the woman who's been in, what's that?
The puppet lady, yeah.
The puppet lady, yeah. When you know, the Dalek is laughing and she flows a switch and then the hologram shows up and she goes, now tell me in my face. I started seeing the Doctor starting to show up, but not the Orphan 55. I can't use that speech. There's so many speeches. Maybe the moment at the end of Rosa when she's discussing about her life, but to me, that was such a great episode, but it got killed off by a horrible bad guy who was absolutely garbage.
But for me, obviously a standout for me historically and for a lot of emotional connection was Demons of Punjab, which is a title I can't forget because I understood exactly what it meant. And there were at least two very strong, relevant speeches in that episode that for me were highly important. In terms of my historical relevance to me, and it should have been for everybody, to be fair. So I'm not going to say that, look. There were good speeches. They were there. They just maybe weren't the ones that everybody was just was repeating, or made it as famously as say Capaldi's, because Capaldi's listen at speech is just timeless. That's never going to go anywhere. So,
And that's the point. That's really the point that Christian's making. And I have to agree with it because if you look at R.T. Davis and Stephen Moffat and we compare those two to Chris Chibnall, what was it that they had that Chris Chibnall has?
It is Ryan here. And I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
He does not follow the BW formula, which actually in season 13, he's going to do that. That's why he was so popular in Broadchurch. He was so successful because it was an arc where everything built up. It wasn't just all thrown in your face all at once, or like one episode that could be forgotten about. The Daleks episodes, those were, in my opinion, they were done well, and that was simply because that was supposed to be a trilogy. So yes, we are going to see another Dalek episode in the future. Probably for the New Year's episode is going to be another Daleks episode because that was what was planned. But outside of that, they're really the formula, the format of season 11 through 13 has been broken. It's been broken from day one. You try something different, which is good. You know, you have to do things that are different. Because if you always stay the same, we won't grow. We won't change.
I get different, but I think there were so many times that he was introducing characters that he never did anything with. Or there was just so many strings just spinning all over the place. And I'm like, we're not saying this. We're not doing this, but...
I completely missed having continuity as that underpinning arc that we're so connected to that takes us all the way through this Doctor's arc. Every Doctor had it, and I don't know quite where this one is. I'm wondering if we're going to get it fully in the last season. I'm hoping. We better, actually, because we need to have some legacy in terms of the 13th Doctor. And yes, I agree. We need to have a really relevant, very much more deep conversation or speech.
I don't mean to cut you off, but Melanie, were there any comments that you want me to hit upon? I saw some really good stuff, and
you can go with Dan's real quick.
He's got a prediction. Dan Hollyfield prediction and Last Man Standing. He's actually got a podcast of his own. Go check it out. Dan Hollyfield. Whoever becomes the next showrunner will be hated for at least 2 years. And whoever becomes the 14th Doctor will be hated by 30% of the fans. Isn't that what always happens?
But that's just how it works.
It does kind of work, but we still hate Chibnall 2 years later.
Let me
correct that.
You don't hate Chibnall.
I don't hate Chibnall. I just don't like the direction he took the show in.
Yeah. That's
one of the things. Apologies, but no, I didn't like the way. I don't know Chibnall, so I just don't like the way the show is. One of my biggest grievances, there's three of them. One of them was, if we were going to start with this kind of change to the Doctor, we should have had one companion only. That was just way too much, because taking more multiple companions, it did what it does normally, and even in past episodes, like the fifth Doctor series, we don't know what to do with them, and we want to focus on Jodie's Doctor. We want that one companion to have a relationship, because that's how the audience views the Doctor. Having too many companions with too many backstories, we need to focus on the Doctor. That was one of my biggest grievances about that. And then when we start getting comfortable and people are going, like, you know, this isn't bad. And if the writing were good and if the directing were good and then the direction that it was going were good, then we add more companions with a backstory. Now we got something for Jodie to work with. I think having too many companions at the start really flushed it down. I'll start with that. That's
Sal, I agree with you to a point, because I know that was a definite problem I had, at least going episode by episode rating was, I remember saying, I want more Yaz. I need, because I remember thinking, and to this day, I think Yaz and Ryan weren't fleshed out. For some reason, Graham was able to come in and we knew his backstory. We got everything down and we're good. His character was set. We knew him as a character. I didn't understand. I wanted more Yaz. I wanted more Ryan, not necessarily just in words, da, 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 but the presence or mm-hmm. stuff behind, you know, that kind of thing. So in my head, I'm like, well, maybe if we had less characters, then we would have also had more Jody, which we would have given the time for the speeches and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But then I stop and go, how many ensemble cast things have I watched, not only lately, but years ago, like even like that, like Band of Brothers kind of stuff, which I know that's a long serial, da, 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 but that's a lot of people. And that's Friends has a lot of people. You're able to figure that. So to me, I go, am I shifting mm-hmm. my, oh, I wish kind of part, you know, to the wrong spot. I mean, it's easy when you're, you know, being an armchair quarterback, but maybe it was the writing.
It was the writing and it's the fact that it's the formula. Exactly. With Friends, you're taking a story that starts as a story with all these characters that's part of their journey and that's it. They stay and they move with it. But because that's not how it works with Doctor Who, we just got, you're right, we got a plethora of new input in a very quick amount of time and had to like try and absorb and digest all this information really quickly and then try and piece a puzzle together. And they were great pieces, man. They all are fantastic, but they still don't fit.
Right. Mm-hmm. Philip Nichols says the classic show had the other doctors in the brain of Morbius, so it's partly to blame as a continuation of the storyline, really, in the Timeless Children. The thing is that story is still contradicted to this day because there is a big finish called Vengeance of Morbius, and it points that those pictures were of Morbius's previous selves. Now, the question came up, you know, how long have you lived, Doctor? How long have you lived? It's one of those things that was just overlooked when it happened. It was something that it was going to be, you know, it was just for that episode and go further. And Chris Chibnall ran with it and said, this is the Timeless Children. And again, I still have a hard time with the Timeless Children as far as the story was subpar. And I have about a billion questions to ask Chris. Okay, Chris, if this is the case, if she is the chosen one, if this is where Gallifrey started, I've got about 52 years of episodes to challenge this right now. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of it, and I'll say this for Chris Chibnall, this is the biggest thing that really, and then we'll go to commercial break and then we'll get everybody's comments as well. The hardest thing about the Timeless Children, and I mentioned in the show, it took me a while to rate it, mm-hmm. was that you basically told Bruce Wayne he's been Superman this whole time. And for me, it cheapens the Doctor as a character because now the Doctor has, it was bad enough that we had to, you know, the Doctor got more lives. That's fine and dandy because we've got to keep the show going, but we still didn't know how many lives the Doctor had. It could have been 2, could have been 100, but you know,
it wasn't going to be though. You know that.
Exactly, but that's the thing about the Doctor Who. We don't know anything about the Doctor. That is when we were talking about the Cartmel Master Plan. We know there's more to this Doctor, but that's as far as we go. Mm-hmm. We might have these little tidbits and things that we throw in there periodically, but the Timeless Children gave me way too much because now she's not Gallifreyan. Or, you know, or I don't know. I thought it was just poorly written. I think he was trying to ingest something into the lore to try to make it bigger. But there were some Whovians, like classic Whovians myself, they were like, okay, I've got 100 questions for you that this doesn't make sense anymore. And I don't mind you trying to reinvent. This is, you know, building on top, but I think you're also building underneath, and that's not cool. It's like trying to pull a Jenga puzzle together while you're trying to pull the big pieces up top and then futzing it with the bottom pieces down here. It just seemed to start to fall apart. Yet it is. The Good Place is a perfect example of a equally fleshed out ensemble cast. Hey, I wonder if Mike Schur is. But it started off with just Ted Danson and Kristen Bell. And then you bring in the cast slowly and give them a backstory that works with your main cast. Oh. And then you have some fun with it. And then later on in the episodes, you get to focus on because people would want to know what the other characters are doing just as much as the main characters are doing. That's my opinion on that. If I'm wrong, please correct me.
I'll go even further with The Good Place. I'll even say Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're comedies, but mm-hmm. they also have parts of drama. But it shows that you can do an ensemble cast that
Hell,
you
MASH. Can figure out. Yeah. MASH was a great example of that. We focused on, it was always Trapper John and Hawkeye Pierce. Mm-hmm. But when we started seeing the others, and when it became slowly more from a comedy into more of a drama, and it started putting more heart into it, MASH became, wow, now we really want to care about other characters aside from what we're seeing. Speaking of which, let me go ahead and take down these things. When we return, please continue to stay long gone, tune in. We're just going to go commercial break. When we return, we're going to continue our discussion and with your live chats talking about Jody and Chris's departure in 2022. Here we go.
You have more options than ever before when choosing a film, a television, or internet series, a book to curl up with, or even a radio show or podcast. Get to know the people who are creating for you. The Hangin' With Web Show, hosted by award-winning author and journalist G.W. Pomacher, is the internet's fastest-growing web talk show series. The Hangin' With Web Show features professional, yet casual, in-depth interviews with creative arts and entertainment pros. Meet the people behind a digital revolution in creating more quality content than ever before in the history of media. Find the Hangin' With Web Show on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter, or simply go to www.hanginwithshow.com. That's www.hanginwithshow.com.
Meet the Doctor.
I'm the Doctor.
But not the one you were expecting.
All right, sexy. It's time to go home.
Doctor Who Velocity, streaming now.
Author Cindy Kep is writing on the edge. Books include Remnant in the Stars, The Loudest Actions, Lines of Succession, Mindstorm, Condemned Courier, The Yerushalon Series, and Animal Eye. Find author Cindy Kep at CKOEPP.com today.
The Massive Audio Doctor Who Bad Wolf Bluetooth TARDIS Speaker. That's all I gotta say. One word. Wow. It looks like it just jumped right off the screen. Here it is in all its Bad Wolf glory. Right here is the on-off switch and the up-and-down volume. Right here's the speaker. The TARDIS stands about 6 inches from the bottom of the TARDIS all the way up to the top where the light is. Look at the detail. Wow!
And you can get those Bluetooth speakers and the cell phone chargers, the wireless cell phone chargers, over at Amazon.com/FameTech, F-A-M-E-T-E-K. That's Amazon.com, F-A-M-E-T-E-K. T-E-K. Don't forget to tell them the legend the Traveling TARDIS sent you. For those of you just joining us, welcome. We are talking about the big elephant in the room, Jody and Chris leaving in 2022. I saw a lot of chats go like completely mad, Melanie, so let's go ahead and hit them up. Get that going there. Philip Nichols already had Doctor Who the movie, Americanized film in Vancouver, Canada, where the X-Files as film at the time. Without it, the show wouldn't have come back proper. Also, I don't think it helped for Paul McGann to premiere as the Doctor, as well as the ending episode of Roseanne. At the same time, that did not
at least
help.
for American audiences.
For an American audience, yeah. the classic really shows bad. Had the other doctors in the brain. Oh, sorry.
Great theory at that one.
Carl Witzman says Graham had suffered loss too, and that has been a factor in many companions. There's something I've been always wanting to say. It was that one episode about the frog.
Right.
Yes, in the mirror world.
It takes me away.
It takes me away.
Yeah.
See, I wouldn't have had the frog thing. I wouldn't even had Jody confronted. I would have had Grace in the frog role.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, it wouldn't have been Grace's voice. I just put Grace there.
No, I put Grace there, and I would have put Graham in the doctor spot, and the doctor's going, "We got to go," and Graham's going, "No, I want to be here." Now, how much of a dynamic would that be that Graham wants to stay in this universe and
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus
terms and conditions apply. See website for details. And Grace, the frog Grace, for a better term, is leading him on. And then the doctor's going, no, 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 no. This is not real.
See, I didn't mind the way that episode was written. I think honestly it was just the frog part. I was like, why are we going that far with it? I mean, you can clearly tell it was Grace's voice. And I think it would have just been more poignant. Of them showing off I can pull that character out of your mind or, you know, get that kind of inspiration and be speaking to you from the voice of Grace. But did you really need to do a CGI frog at that point? I think it just would have been better if it was just her. I mean, she's doing the ADR anyway.
Or just it would just have been a room by herself. There's nothing else. You just hear Grace's voice. It would have been just a white room where she's in the middle of nowhere, no time and space. Just having the discussion. I don't know why the frog was.
It would have been an absolutely beautiful and poignant and extremely connective decision making to have had Grace be that character.
Yeah.
And then have that point something be something that carried on. Mm-hmm. So we're still working through the grief cycle.
Yeah.
Because that's something that all of them, every one of them was dealing with, but in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just Graham, by the way. I mean, obviously, Ryan lost a grandmother. Yaz was going through grief from a completely different perspective and point of view. And so was the doctor. So let's, you know, I think that would have been great.
There's a thought that over the course of this episode is sort of crystallized in my mind that I think speaks to a lot of the problems with Chris Chibnall as a writer and the direction the show has gone. I feel as though, at least for the majority of Modern Who, Doctor Who had become a lot more of an action-adventure show than it was just sci-fi. And I feel like Chris Chibnall didn't know how to do action-adventure. Mm-hmm. Jodie's Doctor has never really been an action hero. Even 12 had his moments of being an action hero, especially because it was still Stephen Moffat who was running the show. So he was still running it like an action adventure show. But I feel as though none of the action stuff has been very well handled. And I think that's even part of why we're not getting speeches from Jodie that are very powerful. And why a lot of things like the frog stuff feels very weird, because we're still getting a lot of the weird sci-fi stuff. But I think that's a huge part of why there has been this awkwardness to Chris Chibnall taking over the role. He likes to do weird stuff and emotionally intimate stuff, but the Doctor isn't really as much a hero as they were for the last 10 seasons before Jodie took over.
That's the point. You got it right there. You didn't give the 13 Doctor hero moments. Not enough.
Exactly. There was no speeches. There were speeches, but they weren't, they really didn't justify the 13th Doctor. They're not speeches that if somebody said, put the best 13 speeches together, I just wouldn't even know where to point. 12 is easy. 9 is easy. 10 is easy. 11 is easy. I can't find anything that I could say, okay, what speech would you introduce somebody who's never watched Doctor Who? What speech would you use to bring from 13's run so far? I'm hoping in this series that comes up, we're going to see a lot more of that.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that Chibnall goes, okay, this is where I've been lacking. But is there a speech right now that you'd say, this is something? Because I can tell you everything about her predecessors, but not her.
There's only one that I can think of. And ironically, it wasn't written by Chibnall, nor was it even part of the show. It was during the time during COVID-19 where Joey...
Yeah.
The closet scene, yeah.
Closet. That, for me, that moment actually connected me the most to her doctor, because I can remember myself at that time. It was unknown. I was scared. I'm immunocompromised. So, yes, I'm vaccinated, but I don't know that, you know, the way that they're saying is that those who get vaccinated are immunocompromised, you might as well not even get the shot. It doesn't work. So that type of stuff. I was really
scared. Not true, but okay.
But that is some of the things that I was experiencing. And having that speech really made me feel, okay, we're going to get through this. I believe it. She's the doctor. And for that, that was my moment.
And she was in a closet the whole time.
Yeah,
doing this. I'm sure this was off the cuff. There was nothing writing. So this is a testament to Jodi. And what could have been if somebody had just given her the tools that she needed. But yeah. She was, you know, it was great that she had used that to let the fans know, hey, it's bad. And she made it an adventure. I'm hiding from the Centaurans. So she made it into a story. That was awesome. And that's the best for Jodi as far as being in that role. But nobody's given her what she needs to do. And she had to do it in a closet on her own, which is sad. Yeah. Sherry A. Clausen, Chris was a terrible choice for showrunner as he wrote the worst episodes during Moffat's run. The opposite was true of Moffat, who was some of the best episodes of all time during Davies' run as showrunner. I would go as far. You see, the thing with Chibnall is when I was excited when I first heard about Chris Chibnall and Jodie Whittaker, because I'm going back into the classic now. Chris Chibnall, if anybody remembers, or you can actually pull this up on YouTube. What speech? Yeah. You can see where he actually is sitting on a panel with other Whovians, and John Nathan Turner, who was the showrunner back then, or the producer, I should say, I think he was expecting all these kids to go, yay, you know, we love Doctor Who and everything. But here comes this Chris Chibnall who comes in and goes, no, it could be better. It could be a lot more better. And that's why I was kind of on the side of Chris Chibnall, because for a kid at his age to go against the production, it would be like going up against, you know, if Marvel did something wrong and you as a kid came up and went over to, you know, who's running Marvel nowadays? Kevin Feige. And say, no, Kevin, that's wrong. You know, and Kevin was expecting this kid, you know, Kevin was expecting this kid to go Google over Marvel, but no, he's going like, no, you went in the wrong direction. I had hope that Chris, as an adult, would take the series and go, okay, this is what I was talking about. This is the way I run the series. But now my question is, what would happen if young Chris Chibnall met older Chris Chibnall in that meeting? What would he say to himself about what he's done with it? James Hiram, are there any characters or constructs in the Hooniverse that have the ability to rewrite time and sweep the timeless children under the rug? Oh, wow. And I do know there's a split in the Hooniverse because of the time.
A good writer could do it.
Here's the thing, James, and this is what's also driving me insane. And I think people overlook this. It could still all be a lie. That's still built into the Timeless Children.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this could
It could be a manipulation from the Master.
Yeah, exactly. This could also be a lie. But if you look at the BBC, they're like, oh, okay, look at how many doctors there are and all these previous times. Wait a minute. You left the door open. This can all still be a lie. So if it's a lie, mm-hmm. all what you're saying is bupkis. Just leave it alone. I mean, if we revisit it, that's fine. But just to let you know, I know of a lot of Whovians that were, you know, classic Whovians who were just not ready for this. And I think this is something that you should have eased into. When we were giving a female Time Lord conversion, we were eased into it thanks to Moffat because of Michelle Gomez taking over as Missy. And there were some naysayers that are going Commander. Like, oh my God.
Commander?
What's that?
General. The Commander? No, General. What? The one dude that was in the 50th that we first Missy saw. And first. Then
came, yeah. Yeah.
I can't remember the name.
And yeah. actually,
the general. The general. Yeah.
Say general.
General. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was the general, the bald guy, right?
Right.
Right. But we were introduced by Missy, and Michelle Gomez owned that role. And whether she did research on her class, on her predecessors, whether she, you know, she even watched Doctor Who, she did it well. And I was convinced, you know what? She deserves as much to be on that, in that mythos. As much as Anthony Ainley, Eric Roberts, all of them, because she owned that role and she made it hers, and everybody was convinced, classic and new, for the most part, she was the master.
I do have a master footnote, but I'm going to bring that in the after party.
Sure. We got a lot of comments. I'm sorry. Is there any comments you'd like me to read? Because we're definitely going to be going into the after party with comments.
The one showing. The one showing, sir.
Christopher Chaffee, the highlight was season 12's Fugitive of the Dragoon. No one, and I mean no one, saw that coming. That blew me away. Got me more excited about Doctor Who than for years. So as a good thing. I also love Jo Martin as the Doctor.
Me too.
She that bald dude.
I can't remember the actress who stood up after that, and because she was just joking around that she was the next Doctor cast. Yeah. Remember, she was, I can't remember the actress's name, but yeah,
that's great.
Okay, so I love I'm thinking that,
and bald still works for her.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
So you were asking about a great speech, and I think you had up that the Fugitive of Dragoon. Mm-hmm. That just that comment right there. Remember the conversation between Ruth and Jodie, where Jodie the 13th gets that comeuppance, and she's like, "Hey, you know, you think you're all this, but and a bag of chips, but really, let me tell you the reality of what it is to be the Doctor." Because I was there. I was there from the beginning of this. And this mm-hmm. is the things that conversation where I will always remember that. Sure, I'm not going to quote it right now. I could. But I think that was a pretty amazing episode in terms mm-hmm. of that dichotomous relation, that dynamic of the two of them. That should have continued. That should continue.
And I was extremely intrigued with the Ruth Doctor. I wanted to know more about the Ruth Doctor. I wanted to see just more of the Ruth Doctor. And I felt like we went right into the Timeless Children kind of arc. And I'm kind of like,
we didn't need it.
I wanted to mine that a little bit more and get me intrigued to what we were building to. Okay, I think maybe that was a big part of it. It was just, okay, well, here's this, and now we're going to have this huge thing. I'm like, I wanted that simmer me a little bit more before we go right into the rolling boil of, okay, we were all just dropped into a pot of boiling water without, you know, being prepared for here's another twist. Here's another, are you ready for another one? Here we go. I'm like, okay, I need to get off this roller coaster. I feel sick.
That right there is the reason why the formula is not working and didn't work, because that is something that you, as a screenwriter and a showrunner, you would know that. You would know that everything, each episode has to have if you're going per season, you look at it as a whole. You look at, you have one major mystery, you have intrigue, you have irony, you have drama, you have comedy, all of that. You throw it all together, and then you slowly reveal things. So like the Fugitive Dragoon with the Ruth Doctor, you could have gone a whole nother way.
Yes.
And then gone back around and like, okay, this is the Timeless Children. With the Fugitive Dragoon, I still think, even knowing they've said that it's not, I still think that the Ruth Doctor possibly is from an alternate timeline. I still believe that, even knowing.
That's what I'm hoping.
Let me go to Denisha. Let me complete this thought. Why would you even say it? Just leave it alone.
Yeah.
Just let it happen. You know, just, you know, let fans think about who the Ruth Doctor is. And I think a multi, you know, everybody's got a multiverse now. Why not the Doctor? Why couldn't the Doctor come out? I mean, she goes through other dimensions, through other space. Why couldn't that Doctor meet other representation of themselves in other places? And because now you've opened the door for other things to happen. Mm-hmm. Could you have an evil Doctor? Can we finally see like the Valyard side of things? What would happen if it would go downhill? Let me read this comment because it's been up here for a while and I want to make sure we get it. Philip Nichols, funny. No one complains with Chibnall stuff on Torchwood or Broadchurch for that matter, but with Doctor, he can't really run, no right. Okay, sure. And showrunners don't always work as well as it was more rewrites with scripts, editors upon a time with producers, more paramount like JNT. I think for me, I think when it comes to Chibnall, he is a soap opera writer. Mm-hmm. That's why Broadchurch works mm-hmm. so well. There's a scene that I think was great, but I kind of criticized because it's mm-hmm. a scene that I don't know if it worked well in the episode. It was the relationship between the two gentlemen, I can't remember their names, I'm sorry, but the Praxis. Mm-hmm. Because you had all this moving around and all stuff, but then we're focusing back on these two guys, which is fine. We should know the stakes between the two of them, what's going on, but we're in a sci-fi show. So mm-hmm. we got to keep things moving, get that explanation out there, have them work within what's going on with the Doctor's world. That to me, because you can find things where in episodes where especially where Chibnall's written, it just goes, we're off on a rocket, and all of a sudden it just stops. Mm-hmm. And then we have to build up, and by that time the show's over. Speaking of the show's over, let me go ahead and get a commercial break. It looks like we're going to be getting a lot of chats in the after party when we return. Please continue to stay logged on, tune in, become part of the legend. Where is it? Oh, that thing.
Experience Samara's adventure as she imagines the people around her change into friendly cartoon animals right before her eyes. Journey with her in this poetic tale, My Cartoon Imagination at School.